This is an Equity Bates Media podcast.
You're listening to Get Started Investing, a production of Equity Bates Media. This series is everything you need to get started on your investing journey.
You don't need a lot of brains in this business. Investing in yourself is the best thing you can do. Anything that improves your own
talent. Now you can get rich very young just by having an idea.
I mean, I can buy anything I want, basically, but I can't buy time.
Welcome to Get Started Investing. In this podcast, we cover all the basics you need to start your investing journey. We unpack all the jargon and confusing bits, hear your stories with the goal of making investing less intimidating. And along the way, we hope to have a bit of fun. My name is Bryce, and as always, I'm joined by my equity buddy, Ren. How are you going?
I'm very good, Bryce. As always, very excited for this episode, but particularly excited for what we're about to do here with Get Started Investing because we're changing up the format a bit.
We are changing the format. We've taken on board some feedback from our community survey for 2021. You guys thoroughly enjoyed the first 12 episodes of this series, and we wanted to continue that in the best way that we can, unpacking key fundamentals that are going to be important for your investing journey, but in a way that sort of makes sense and is a continuation and will help you take one step at a time.
Yeah. So the 12-part series was great because it was a narrative arc. It was from I don't know anything about investing to I have the information and confidence to make my first trade. And that was something that we particularly liked about the first 12 episodes. And we want to try and bring that back in some way without retreading old ground. So we're really trying to walk the middle path here. So rather than doing just one-off episodes talking about, you know, a particular element of, you know, getting started with investing, what we're going to do is, what are we calling them? We're calling them chapters. We're calling them mini-series, whatever we're going to call them.
Curriculum units.
And there'll be a test at the end of each of them. we're just going to do sort of mini-series on a particular topic and try and have that sort of, you know, woe to go, narrative arc. You don't need to know anything. And by the end of it, hopefully you'll feel comfortable about a particular topic, you know, similar to what we did with ETFs, with beta shares or brokers with superhero. We want to bring that sort of mini series vibe to it. So first cab off the rank, we've had a lot of questions both in the Facebook group and in the listener survey around investing styles. And what does that even mean? And like, how should one approach investing? Because fact of the matter is there's a lot of ways to make money in the stock market. There's not a one-size-fits-all approach. There's not one perfect way to do it. So in the next two episodes, you'll know everything you need to know about the different investing styles, and you'll have the tools and the information to understand what they all are and make a decision about which one's right for you.
A reminder as well before we get stuck in that we are doing a live show coming up on April 29th, first live show for 2021. It's called All Access and it's in partnership with Stake. We're going to be doing a series of shows that deep dive into particular industries, and we'll be getting experts and industry insiders to come along and join us on the panel to hopefully give you some investing information that you would otherwise not have access to. Our first cab off the rank is the alcohol and beverages industry. We're going live in Sydney at Atomic Beer Project. But the good news is if you haven't been able to secure some tickets for in person, we do have many tickets available to stream online. So head across to our Facebook group. There's a link in our Instagram page, or you can email us and we can shoot you some details. But tickets are free. And if you do join from your lounge room, the comfort of your own lounge, there are plenty of prize packs to be won on the night as well. We're going to have five industry experts all discussing some of the biggest players in the alcohol and beverages industry, both here and around the world. So tune in. It's going to be a lot of fun, but that's enough for that. Let's get stuck in.
That's it. All right. Well, yeah, let's get stuck in. So investing styles. Let's start by, I guess, defining the term. What do we mean when we talk about investing styles?
At a high level, it's the methodology or the principles that you, I guess, invest by.
Yeah. So people may have heard things like, I'm a growth investor, I'm a value investor, I'm a passive investor, I'm a day trader. They're all different styles of investing. And I think something that we've already said, but I think, you know, is worth repeating throughout, is that all of these different styles have merits. You can make money all of these different ways. In different time periods and at different points in history, some have performed better than others. And so it's just a matter, like, what we want to do here is not say, you know, if you're a value investor or if you're a day trader, that's dumb, don't do that. But really, it's just you should understand the different styles and understand what you're doing, because, you know, you can make money plenty of ways, but you can also lose money if you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, if you don't know what you're doing, and also history shows that successful investors are the ones that stick to what they're doing as well. So, yeah, we'll get to that in a little bit. But yes, investing styles, as you said, Ren, growth, value, it's the way in which you invest. But the big question, I think, if you're starting is, does it even really matter? Does an investing style matter to me if I'm starting out on my investing journey?
Well, style doesn't matter to me, as you were as you were having a crack at me before we started recording. I very much just wear the same Equity Mates t-shirt most days. No, I do have multiple you know editions of it.
Oh good.
But look, investing styles matter because if you're just buying something because you think it's good, that sometimes isn't enough. So investing styles matter just because you know what you're buying and then why you're buying it, like how you expect to make money on something, rather than sort of just spraying and praying. It matters in the sense that it will help you sort of have some discipline, I guess. But I think the other element of it is something that we often speak about but often gets overlooked in people's, you know, rush of blood to the head. I want to get started investing. I'm going to do it today. I'm going to sign up to a broker and just throw some money in. Is just your investing style should align to your investing goals. And so it matters in the sense that you should just have like some idea of like how quickly you want to make money, how much risk you're willing to take on. And your investing style sometimes can come out of that. So to give you an example, if I'm like, I want to be a millionaire next year, then taking a passive approach where I just buy the whole market and wait isn't going to make me a millionaire next year. So yeah, it matters in firstly because it's important to have a plan and know what you're doing, and then secondly because it should align with your goals.
Yeah, don't get put off though, because it's easy to say you're a value investor, but on day one, if you haven't studied finance, if you've never gone in and tried to do a DCF, discounted cash flow, like you may want to take a value investing style or approach, but don't let that stop you if you don't know the ins and outs of it from the beginning.
Yeah. 100%. And it changes. Like over the course of this three-part series, we'll talk about how our investing styles have changed, because they have. You briefly dabbled as a day trader back in like what, 2018, 2019?
Yeah, well, this is the point. Like you don't... It takes time to find out who you are as an investor, and you know you might start with a passive approach and then realize that you love the active hands-on, which we'll get to in a little bit. You might realize that you don't have the emotional control for day trading, so you know it's you don't have to start with the one that you're going to end with. It's about finding what works for you.
So in this episode we want to really just introduce the biggest decision when it comes to investing styles, which is passive v active. Passive is a great way to make money. And if you're busy and you've got a whole bunch of stuff that you prefer to be doing with your time other than learning about investing or analyzing companies, that is an investing style that is right for a lot of people. And then over the next two episodes, we'll then break down some of the key types of active investing, and then we'll tie it all together and sort of talk about how you can make that decision if you're unsure. So before we get into that active investing or passive investing discussion, there's one question that I want to ask you. So we just spoke about how you're not locked into life, how you can change your style over time. We've both changed our styles. I would hazard a guess that almost every investor has changed their style over time. Warren Buffett, history's greatest investor, famously changed his style over time. So there's nothing wrong with changing your style. My question, my other question for you is, do I need to choose just one style?
No, is the short answer.
Okay, what about the long answer?
Can't get much shorter than that. Two letters.
Podcasts don't thrive on short answers, I must say.
No, you don't need to choose one style. Many investors, you and I included, segment or you know, take our total pool of investable funds or all the money that we have, and often segment it into different styles for different reasons. For example, as we're about to discuss, you can take a passive approach for the majority of your funds and let that sort of build over a long period of time. And then if you want to take a small chunk, say 10% of your investments, and take an active, more hands-on approach, that's one way you can do it as well. Even if you look at some of the big fund managers here in Sydney, you know, they will have many different funds with many different approaches or styles. So you've got one fund manager who will have a small caps fund, a growth fund, a diversified, you know, though you can already see that whilst it's the same investing or investment company, they take different approaches for different segments of their money. So I think the main thing is, whatever way you split it, make sure within those styles you stick to that strategy.
Yeah. So just like Bryce during the week is business casual in his dress style, and on the weekend he's EDM candy raver.
No, not true.
Sorry, no. On the weekend he's gothic chic.
Okay, weird.
Yeah, you can have different styles. And people will have heard us talk about a core and satellite approach when it comes to investing. And that is really, you know, the core is, as you were saying, that passive approach, and then the satellite can be a more active approach. So yeah, you're not locked in for life. You don't have to choose just one style. The main thing is you're just aware of the different ways you can make money in the market, and you're having a think about which one is right for you. So with that said, we want to spend the rest of this episode breaking down the biggest decision when it comes to your investing styles. Are you a passive investor or are you an active investor? But before then, we'll just hear a quick word from our sponsor.
So, Ren, you frame it as the biggest question an investor needs to make at the beginning of their journey.
Did I frame it like that?
Yes.
I think I
passive
said
the
biggest question when it comes to investing styles, but hey, we'll go with it.
It's an interesting one though, because about 2 minutes ago we said we're both, so you don't really have to.
Oh, you got to make a decision about like, do you want to be one, the other, or both, or neither? Neither we wouldn't recommend, because then you're not investing, but yeah.
So look, it's you would have heard of passive v active.
But if you haven't, Bryce is going to explain
in terms of an investing approach. For the beginner investor, I think we'll start with passive, because it's obviously in trend at the moment. And given the products that many beginner investors are buying, ETFs, index funds, that really aligns with the passive approach. So let's start there, and then we'll touch on active.
Can we, before we really unpack them, just think about to understand the distinction as we're going through them. Passive, you're not doing anything. Active, you're doing something.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Weren't we going to unpack that?
Well, I didn't want to get too deep into one before it was, yeah.
Sure. Okay. Well, yes. Passive is where you're not doing a whole lot.
Yeah. So what does that mean?
It's limited buying and selling. And really what it means is that you're putting money into the market and then taking a very hands-off approach with what you're thinking about buying, the types of investments you're buying. You're not necessarily going to be buying individual stocks. You're not putting in time and effort to research individual stocks. Your goal is just to get the market return over a long period of time.
Yeah. So the idea behind passive investing is that the stock market continues to grind upwards as people are innovating, companies get more productive, more profitable. You know, like the story of capitalism is a story of constantly chasing growth. And so the theory behind passive investing is that you don't need to make decisions yourself. You don't need to pick winners. You don't need to decide, try and pick which companies are going to do the best, or which ETFs, you know, like which thematic ETFs are going to do the best. You can just say, I'm making a bet on capitalism, basically. I'm making a bet on human innovation, and I'm just happy to take the market average returns. Now, since 1900s, the All Ordinaries in Australia, which is the index of like all the ordinary shares in Australia, including dividends, has returned 13.2%. People talk about the stock market average these days being between 7 and 8%. And so the passive investing approach is, if I get that 7, 8, 10, 13% on average over 40 years, I'll do incredibly well for myself. And just to put some numbers to it, if you had put $1,000 a year into the market and did nothing else, you just put $1,000 a year into the market over 40 years, and you got that 13.2% historical average for the Australian share market, you would have over $1 million after 40 years. So that's passive investing. Buy, sit, and wait.
Buy, sit, and wait. So from a difficulty level, it is pretty it's pretty low in terms of a difficulty level. You don't need to know a whole lot to get started with a passive approach. There's plenty of products and apps available that can get you started, from the micro investing apps that are out there. All the ETFs and index funds that are available will help you kick off your passive investing style. The time required is an important thing to consider here as well. If you're a busy person with a hectic job or looking after family members or whatever it may be, and you don't have the time or the knowledge or discipline to sit down and research individual stocks and build a portfolio and understand portfolio management, then this is probably the best place to start and think about your investing style as passive.
Honestly, I think we both didn't start investing. Oh, you kind of started investing this way, sort of. But for me, I enjoy some active investing, but I wish I had started just passive investing. I just wish I had bought a ASX 200 index in Australia or an S&P 500 index in the US and just learnt, dip my toe in the water, and then you can sort of go up. Yeah. In terms of what you would be buying if you were just a passive investor, we've spoken about market indexes, which are funds that just hold a little bit of everything. The ASX 200, 200 biggest Australian stocks, S&P 500, America's 500 biggest stocks. You can buy those through a broker as an exchange traded fund. What else would I be buying? Individual stocks?
Highly unlikely.
Yeah.
Highly, highly unlikely. For more information on the ETF exchange traded fund side of things, we do have the 3-part episode with BetaShares that goes through ETFs for beginners. So head over there for a bit more info. But yes, no, I would not be buying individual stocks.
What about a managed fund?
You could be buying into a managed fund. You could, yes. No reason you wouldn't. Essentially, all that would be doing for those that have just joined us on their journey, a managed fund is, as it is in the description, a fund managed by a professional, and you give them your money for them to look after and invest on your behalf. So in terms of ease, it's not much easier than giving it to someone else to look after.
So this is that. So passive is that real set and forget. I don't want to be involved in it. I just want to let other people, do their thing and for me to make money. So that's passive.
Yep.
Active.
Active, yes. It's obviously the flip side of passive, and this is where you take a much more hands-on active approach in the investing decisions that you're making, the research and time that you're putting in to make those decisions, and then the active management of your portfolio, which is probably an underrated aspect of active management. People put a lot of time and energy into finding the stocks and buying, and not a lot of research and energy into managing the stocks once you've bought them, which really is where the money's made and lost in some instances. Yeah. So Let's take the same approach. The goal for active management, you heard Ren just before talking about the average return of the stock market over 20, 40 years, and there's nothing wrong with taking that return over a long period of time. The goal of active management, and this is the style that many professional investors take, is to beat that return.
Yep.
They want to be able to say that the market returned 7% this year, I returned 10%, therefore I am a better investor than the broader market. Mm. And that's where they make their money. And, you know, the big investors, Warren Buffett's of the world, have obviously been able to beat the market over a long period of time. But only, say, 5% of professional investors are able to do that. The rest...
Over the long term.
Over the long yeah. term. Over the
a lot
long
of people
term.
Can do it in a year here or there.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, a year. But yeah, long term, it's difficult.
So that is the goal of active management, is to beat the market. And then it all kind of falls from there, because you can imagine if you are trying to beat the market, you're going to have to put a lot of time and energy and think about your investments in more detail. Mm. So, Ren, you asked what sort of investments would you be making in passive. What sort of time and effort goes into the investments that you would have in active, and what would they be?
So I think with active investing, there's so many different elements to it. So with passive, it's basically, if you're a passive investor, you're buying market indexes or just, you know, basic things that own a bit of everything, and you want to get the market average returns. There's not a lot of different ways to go after that. With active, there's so many different branches under, under active investing. There's different time horizons, different things that the investors are looking for, different theories about how companies make money or stocks go up in value, all that stuff. So basically, to answer the question that you asked, what kind of things would you be buying as an active investor? It's the world is your oyster. It's everything from market indexes to, you know, alternative assets to stocks, and then you go into all the derivative stuff, you know, like options and warrants, none of which you need to worry about as a beginner investor or an advanced investor. I've never bought a derivative or traded a derivative. I don't think you have either.
No.
So don't even worry about that. But yeah, basically the world is your oyster. Anything's on the table, depending on the strategy you're following. But in terms of the difficulty and the time required, it obviously scales. There are some of these active strategies that are more difficult than others, but relative to passive investing, it's high.
Yes.
If passive investing, you can buy something once a month or once a year and then sit on the beach and go have a big night with your mates. If you're going to be an active investor, you can still have a big night with your mates. Boy, you definitely do. But you do need to spend some time on this.
Yes, absolutely. So, yeah, to recap, passive is about limited buying and selling, long-term approach, taking the average market return, low difficulty level to get started in terms of knowledge required, and time required is also low. And the types of investments you'd be making would be into index funds, ETFs, managed funds, those sorts of investing products. Whereas active is very hands-on, actively buying and selling. The goal is to beat the market, and difficulty level as well as time required is high. And as Ren just pointed out, you pretty much can invest in whatever you want.
So here's the final question, the most important question. How do you know what you are? How do you know if you should be investing passively or actively?
There are a few questions that you can ask yourself to answer that.
This is your morning mantra.
Yes, I have these tattooed on my forearm to remind myself. Look, I think there are a couple of questions to figure out before you start. And, you know, if you start with one approach, you'll quickly work out where you land if you don't ask yourself, as we did. We started out with probably a more active approach than we should have, and slowly reverted to passive, and now have a bit of both in our world. But yeah, so for me, it's about asking yourself, what is your investment goal? As you said, Ren, if you're looking to beat the market in 1 year and make $1 million in 1 year, then you're going to have to put in a lot of hands-on work to do that. So you're taking an active approach. Whereas if you're looking for financial independence and security over 40 years, then taking a passive approach and building that wealth over a long period of time is the answer for that. Do you need to beat the market? Well, if yes, active. If you're happy with market returns over a long period of time, it's a passive approach. And then I think the biggest thing is, do you need to ask yourself, do you have the time and skills to actually sit down and give justice to researching stocks and actually making theses for your investing decisions and writing down, you know, why you think this business is good and those sorts of things. If you don't have the time for that, it's highly likely you don't have the time to be an active investor.
Mm. Yeah, the skills you can develop, the time is the thing that is incredibly difficult to make more of.
Absolutely, absolutely. So a few questions there you could ask yourself.
One more that you've written down, which I think is worth touching on.
Oh, yeah.
Your final question is, am I an emotional investor? And I think that's really important. Like, you got to know yourself and you got to know how you're going to react if things aren't going your way in markets. If you're someone who's likely to panic, lose faith in the decisions they've made and sell out at the worst possible time and lose money, it's important that you know that about yourself, and either you put a plan in place to manage that, or you say, maybe active investing isn't for me, or maybe I want to approach a less risky strategy, at least until I'm comfortable enough that I know I'll be able to manage the emotions of the market.
Yeah. Well, Ren, that does bring us to the end of today's episode, 1 of 3, all on investing styles. Next episode, we're actually going to be playing a bit of a game to give some insight into the different types of investors that you might be. There's growth, value, deep value, technical, momentum. There's plenty to go through, but we're going to play a game so that we can break it all down in a digestible and accessible way so that you can hopefully understand what might be best for you.
Yeah, and look, if you've listened to this episode and decided that I'm going to be a passive investor, we still think you should listen to the next two, because as we said, you might change over time, and it's important to sort of know what else is out there and how else people make money. But we've really done all we can do on passive investing. We'll put it all together at the end, but
we will.
Episode two is then like, what are the active styles?
Yeah, stick around. Third episode, you'll get a bit of insight into how both Ren and I manage our portfolios from a passive and active approach. So
we also are doing a month in the life of different types of investors, including passive investors.
There you go.
And Bryce will be speaking from his personal experience there.
I won't be speaking because I don't do anything.
True. Well, you can still speak. Again, podcasts don't thrive if people aren't speaking.
Well, that's a wrap. Just a reminder, again, live show, hit us up for details, or you'll find a link in our Instagram page. We do have a couple of shows that are worth checking out. You're in Good Company is a new show from Equity Mates Media. Again, all about the adventures in finance and investing of the two hosts, Sophie and Maddie. So go and check them out. Comedian V Economist is another one we've got, which is all about the world of macroeconomics through the eyes of a comedian, Thomas, and his brother.
Comedian Adam and his brother, RBA economist Thomas.
So check that out. And if you are feeling a bit adventurous and like you're ready to move up the rung on the investing ladder, then we do obviously have Equity Mates Investing Podcast, which you can come and listen to us discuss many things with experts in the industry. So thanks for listening. Always fun, Ren, to chat stocks, and we'll pick it up next week.
Sounds good.
Get Started Investing is a product of Equity Mates Media. All information in this podcast is for education and entertainment purposes only. It is not intended as a substitute for professional finance, legal, or tax advice. The hosts of Get Started Investing are not financial professionals and are not aware of your personal financial circumstances. Before making any financial decisions, you should read the product disclosure statement and, if necessary, consult a licensed financial professional. Do not take financial advice from a podcast. For more information, head to the disclaimer page on the Equity Mates website, where you can find the ASIC resources and find a registered financial professional near you. In the spirit of reconciliation, Equity Mates Media and the hosts of Get Started Investing acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea, and community. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people today.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.